Ian Schuer is with us once again to make things clear that are not clear now. Editor-in-chief, editor-at-large, I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't give me a promotion yet. My boss wouldn't be happy.
Yeah. Just a slip of the tongue. Editor-at-large at CNET.com. There. Yeah, I got it. So, well, I've been reading all sorts of stuff about iPhones and Facebook and security and improvements. And where would you like to start? What do you think the biggest thing that people should know about what's going on now is? Because there's
there's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the thing that people are probably that's been on a lot of people's minds in the last couple of days has been around Apple, right? You would say maybe a brouhaha around mm-hmm. Apple or a ruckus
or a kerfuffle.
But Apple announced its new iPhone 13s yesterday, and you know, for the most part, they're not that dissimilar from the iPhone 12s, mm-hmm. Which came out last year. The design looks very similar. But the biggest thing they changed, aside from the cameras and making them faster, you know, all that cute stuff, was that they made it the battery life far better. They were able to increase battery life between 1.5 and 2.5 hours, which may not seem like a lot, except when you're at the end of your day.
Yeah.
And that 15 minutes of last battery is really important. And they said that they did this actually by doing a couple of things. They changed the chips inside to make them more efficient. That makes sense. They did some work on software so that the cellular chips, right, the stuff that talks wirelessly, would use less power-hungry wireless signals mm-hmm. when you didn't need them, right? Because the faster the signal, the more power-hungry it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And then the other thing they did was that they put in a new screen that actually changes how much power the screen draws depending on what you're looking at. So if you're playing a game, it'll draw more power so it can actually make the screen move faster. But if you're just reading a book, for example, right, or a news article, hopefully on CNET, of course, then it'll drop down to refreshing the screen, right, pulling in as little power as possible. And they said that by doing all of those things together, they were able to eke out quite a bit of battery life.
They have something that they're calling a bionic
yes.
chip. Is that's their term, right? A bionic
yes.
chip.
Yeah. The six trillion dollar man, I guess it is now. But
yeah.
Exactly. But no. They have different terms for all of their different chips, right? And inside the industry, it's actually kind of funny. They all like to have these weird code names for all of their products.
Yeah.
And so Apple has been using the term Bionic attached to the name of its chips each year. So, you know, last year was the A13 Bionic. This year's the A14 Bionic. Before that, it was the A12 Bionic. I mean, it's just kind of, it's marketing, right? Like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And I'm sure they find it cute.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, Apple used to use cats, like very powerful in nature cats, for the names of its software, right? Lion, tiger, leopard.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. So, and sometimes they wouldn't have a huge upgrade for their software. So one year they went from leopard to snow leopard. It's like, okay,
wow. I remember that. Yeah, I should pay closer attention. Yeah,
exactly, right? It's cute. So, you know, those are the biggest changes. You know, they made a couple of changes to their Apple Watch, primarily giving it a bigger screen and also making it what they say is impact resistant. So the example they gave was if you're on a bike and you fall down and your watch hits the ground and hits a rock, it should be okay.
Really?
All I could think in my head was, great, my shoulder's busted, but yeah, at least my watch is okay.
312-981-7200. We have Carl on the line. Hello, Carl. Welcome to WGN.
Yeah, hi again, John. Enjoy listening to Ian as well as John. You know what comes after the snow leopard is the serval. I don't know if you guys know that to begin with. And okay,
I love
okay. it. Hey, but seriously, folks, Ian, a number of years ago, I needed, you know, people were putting pressure on me. Got to get a smartphone. Got to get a smartphone. Okay, so I'm at Target on the clearance rack, and I picked up an old Apple iPhone on the cheap. Okay, which still works. However, okay, I believe the production date was, I think, 03. And right now, don't laugh now, okay? I updated the software, I don't know, a few weeks ago with a notification. But right now, 12.5.4. Do I need to be concerned about this?
So generally speaking, Apple supports their software going back about 5 years, which, by the way, unfortunately, is a very aggressive approach compared to the rest of the industry. A lot of companies have only started promising they'll support their devices going back 3 years. So it's actually a huge problem. And for the most part, when we think about security and all that and app compatibility and all of that, generally speaking, so right now the world is on iOS 14. So you are you're running a device that is probably out of the support cycle, right? They're no longer supporting it for the most part. They may be giving you security updates, which is probably what you ended up getting. Thank goodness, at least for that. But generally speaking, you know, I tend to tell people that once you fall out of the support cycle, it, again, this is depending on who you are, right? If you're just using it to make phone calls and text messages, who cares? But if you're using it for other stuff like surfing the web, maybe checking your bank statements on an app, then you may want to consider at least getting a phone that is running the latest software, because those security features and all of those different features, at some point you're going to get kicked out, right? They're just not going to support it. And app developers, they tend to cut off support pretty quick. So you may find already there are some apps that aren't working on your phone because you're running this older software. And unfortunately, there's nothing that you can do to upgrade to the latest software because your phone is so old. You have to buy up. But that said, you might want to consider, you mentioned, you know, you bought it on the discount rack and that I have to imagine you don't want to spend too much on it, which is perfectly reasonable. If you still want to stick in Apple world, there's a device called the iPhone SE. And, and so that device is actually what we consider at CNET. We gave it the review saying that it is the best bang for your buck in Apple land that you can get. And part of that is because of the quality of the chips they put in there, the quality of the camera that's in there, and also it still gets all of that support that the more expensive phones get, right? And it's only $399. Now, $399 is not only, right? That's still a lot of money to spend, but it's way less than the $700 that Apple's asking for the iPhone 13.
The new one's almost $1,000.
Yes. Right. And then one other thing to keep in mind is that you can bring in your older phone to see if someone will give you a discount on the new phone, right? So AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, a lot of the carriers these days are doing very aggressive buyback programs because even though your phone is old, they find either they can recycle parts inside of it or they can sell it overseas, right, where people really can't afford the phones that we buy here. And in those cases, you get something for it, right? Maybe you get $50, maybe you get a couple $100, and you get to recycle your device and then you get a new one. So I would recommend sticking, if you're going to do that, go with the iPhone SE. And I would wait until later this month, right after the iPhone 13 has come out, because that's when all of the new promotions from AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, everybody will come out. And also they're going to change over time, especially around the holidays, because they all want your money and they're going to push hard.
Yeah.
And because, as we were mentioning, the iPhone 13 doesn't have, amazing changes in it this year, it's going to mean that the carriers have to fight even harder to keep you as a customer, which is to your benefit.
Okay.
Ian, am I still here? Am I still around?
You're still here, Carl.
Hey, hallelujah and praise be the Lord. Ian, first of all, you read my mind. That was my backup. Okay, that's the one I was thinking about, and I can get it on the cheap with this carrier for either $150 or $200.
That's great.
That's good.
Not bad, right?
So, yeah, no, not bad at all. Yeah. Make sure that it's the recent one that came out last year and not the one that came out 3 years or 4 years ago. Because then you're going to be in that same problem 2 years from now, right? So I'd rather you at least have as much support as you can. And when people, you know, generally speaking, if you can afford it, what I tend to tell people when they buy phones at a much lit, you know, kind of not every year, not every other year, but more at like 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. is to buy the pretty much the best phone you can get at this moment that you can afford, because that will support you for a longer period of time. Right.
All so right.
Something to keep in mind.
He knows his stuff. Yes, he does. he surely does, because he's Ian Schur. And we'll do more when we come back on 720 WGN. John Landecker along with Ian Schur, who is the king and president of
you're going to get me in trouble.
CNET.com, and just purchased the entire company while we were away during commercial. No, I'm kidding. More call, more answer. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Kathy. Hello, Kathy. You're on WGN.
Hi, John. Ian, I have a question for you. Going back to that ES or SE phone?
Yes.
Okay, so I have one of those, and I love it because it's just nice and small. It fits in your pocket. It fits wherever you're going. So I think about, I don't know when I got it, maybe 5 or 6 years ago at the AT&T store. And then I had to get a replacement because, unfortunately, it fell in the toilet. So anyways, needless to say, they sent me that 5SC one again, okay, the replacement. And then I took out the insurance, okay?
Yeah.
So, but my question is, because I get the updates and everything all the time, and I call them if I have a question, and it's just great. So, do you think that you're going to get rid of that one? I kind of didn't hear their whole conversation with the previous caller.
Well, what I tend to tell people is that when you're not updating, if you're not going to buy a new phone regularly, right, every 2, 3, or 4 years, then the thing you want to keep in mind is how long the software is supported. Mm-hmm. So if you're not running the latest software, which right now the world is on iOS 14, we're going to be going to iOS 15 next week.
Really?
So if your phone, yes. So if your phone doesn't support that, right? And I believe that version of the phone does not, but I'd have to double check. It would take a little bit of Googling. I can try and figure it out before the end of the show. But the if it's not supported, then I would recommend trying to at least get a phone that is supported with the new software. And that was why I mentioned the most recent version of the iPhone SE, which came out last year. The way you can tell the difference, by the way, is that the ones that were sold before, because they didn't give numbers to the iPhone SE, they just call it the iPhone SE. The ones that were sold before are either black or white, mm-hmm. or silver. And the new ones are actually, they have an aluminum back on them, and they've got an array of colors for them. So that's how you know you've got the more modern one, is that it's got an aluminum back and kind of an array of colors.
Why are the updates like 1 week apart?
What's going on? There's a difference, right?
Okay.
So Apple puts out a big update every year. For its iOS, that's the software that runs the phone, right? That's where the dock is, and that's the mail app and Safari and all that stuff. So what happens is they do that every year, typically in September. But they also update it in between throughout the year with security updates. Maybe mm-hmm. they'll add a feature or two or a couple of emoji, right? The upcoming emoji is like a saluting person. And there's also an emoji for a battery that's draining. I think that's a useful one. And even a bird's nest with or without eggs, which I think is worth tweeting about. So, you know, the reality is that they do those throughout the year. And for example, there was a big update that came out on Monday that was very, very important because it had a big security update.
Yeah.
But generally, those software updates happen throughout the year. So you get those, you know, you'll have those happening regardless. But the big software updates that have like new features, right? And, you know, everything Apple wants to market to you, those come once a year.
I'm going to ask a personal question.
Sure.
I love using the phone to take, well, they're not movie, video, and shoot.
It's movies too.
And
you call them whatever you want.
And photo and pictures. And I understand that the new phone has done something in that area.
Yes. Yeah. It's actually very interesting. So Apple actually hired Oscar-winning director Catherine Bigelow to talk about it.
Are you kidding?
I mean, look, when you're a $2 trillion company, you get anyone you want on stage to talk about your stuff. Okay?
Wow. So,
I remember once when they had like the London Symphony Orchestra do some background music for them. I'm like, yep, that's what that money does. Yeah. But not that they don't deserve it. I'm just saying.
Right.
But the thing is that that they added a feature to the phones that does really good video recording. And what they call it is cinematic mode, of course. So what is it? Well, essentially, they wrote a computer program that is searching for the faces in the image, right?
Yeah.
And what they'll do is it'll actually try to guess where that person is looking and whether they are the quote-unquote subject of the image. So if they're in the foreground, right, they're closest to you, yeah, and they're looking at the camera or maybe slightly off, it'll focus on that and make the rest of the background blurry.
Oh,
right?
Just like a movie would.
Here's the genius Apple part, right? Is that if they look to the background, guess what happens?
The foreground.
It immediately shifts to the focus to the background.
And the foreground is out of focus. It's blurry, right?
And so this is something, I mean, there's a lot of artificial intelligence involved in all of that, but the ability to change this focus in a very cinematic way is what Apple says is the huge innovation. Now, you could just say, well, that's just autofocus on steroids. But I think what's interesting is that, you know, this is why they brought in Catherine Bigelow, was really to say, you know, look, the quality of the cameras that are in the phone at this point and the ability to do these kind of features make it more competitive with the other stuff she's using. Now, there's a reason that she pays thousands and thousands of dollars for the camera she uses. And by the way, has a professional whose job it is to literally play with that lens as it's going. But I think there's an argument to be made that there is an increasing effort. And we've written about this on CNET to put smarts into cameras to the point where they are almost as much computer as they are camera lens.
You know,
and
we
that
gotta,
is I'm, where Apple is.
Ian, we, I'm, would love to talk some more, but we're out of time. I thank you so much for being with us. Always great. Always learn some great stuff. That's Ian Schur, who's editor at large at CNET.com.